welcome to the Martyrs' online mission tonight. It looks like the farmers have got what they need and what the soil has been crying out for, a downpour of rain. After weeks of unseasonally fantastic weather, the crops are gasping for water from heaven. Which reminds me of some words spoken by God through his prophet Isaiah, not so much a physical promise, but a spiritual one, where he says, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." What he meant was the rain of his righteousness would fall upon our hearts, turning us from sin to salvation, from ruin to refreshment. How we need to see that promise fulfilled today, for the showers of heavenly blessing to arrive on earth. Tonight, Greg Gibson will be telling his story of how God's grace won his heart and helped him and his wife when their little boy was delivered at only 25 weeks. Reverend John Morrow will be encouraging us to see in Christ our only Saviour. Marion is responsible for the children's story, and it's right in her talk that I'll be fishing for our children's question tonight.
Hello, boys and girls. Well, you know what this is. This is an iPad, and you're doing your homeworks on it, your schoolwork, FaceTime with your grandparents. But, you know, I'm going to use this as our lesson today and think about the World Wide Web, but we're going to look at it from God's Word. We're going to think of three W's today, and the first W is, the action goes like this, and it's found in John chapter 14 and verse 6, and it says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So that's the first W of WWW. The second W is, there's the action. Can you think of a verse of scripture that would talk about the love of God for the world? John 3 and 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that's good news. Whether you live in China, Australia, the Philippines, or Northern Ireland, you know, God loves all the nations. He loves the whole world. That's the second W. The third W is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know, people are desperate looking for a cure for coronavirus today. And you know, if it was available, they'd take it with both hands. But you know, we have a greater need in our life, and that is a need for our sin to be forgiven. And there is a remedy for our sin, and that remedy is the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross, the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to challenge you today. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Have you come by the way of the Lord? Because he loves you. WWW. Thank you.
The blood, crimson love, price of life's demand. Shameful sin placed on him, the hope of every man. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my what love, no greater love. Grace, how can it be that in my sin, yes, even then, he shed his blood for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What a sacrifice that saved.
My name is Gregory Gibson and I belong to our Liverpool Church. It's a pleasure for me to have this opportunity to briefly tell you about what God has done in my life. I presently live in England, but I'm sure you can tell from the accent that I'm not a Scouser, and I was born and raised in County Armagh in Northern Ireland. I was born into a family of five. I was raised a Roman Catholic, and I went to a Catholic primary school, was christened as a baby, I took my first Holy Communion and had my confirmation. I ticked all the boxes regarding the Catholic faith. But as I got older, I began to think more about my religion, and the more I thought about it, the more I said to myself, "Well, what a load of nonsense this is. God, he isn't real, and I'm not wasting any more of my time in this." And so I just said goodbye to that part of my life, and I moved on with things. And so I finished school and I headed off to university in Belfast. Now, university, it was a whole new world to me, where I had no parents to tell me what to do, and I can say that there was a lot more partying done than there was studying. And so after my degree, I had the chance to stay on at university to do a PhD, which seemed ideal to me as I could continue in this lifestyle. And it was during this time that I met Rebecca, who is my wife, and she was a Christian, and we got along well as long as she kept God to herself. But events transpired and I was coming out of a long-term relationship, which along with some other things, it resulted in me going through a bit of a hard time. And it was during this time that Rebecca, she invited me to go to church, and I don't know why, but I said yes. Now, she took me to our Ballymoney church, and I can say that this is the first time that I heard the true and simple message of salvation, that I was a sinner and that I needed a saviour. And so this was completely opposite to what I'd been taught growing up, for it was all rituals, it was all being a good person and hoping you can earn your way to heaven, but it was never guaranteed. And so that night in Ballymoney, I heard that I could be assured of heaven when I died through trusting in Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. Now, over the next few months, I continued on with life as normal, except for on a Sunday where I started to attend church regularly, as I was curious to hear more about this free gift of salvation. And as a surprise even to me at the time, I started to really enjoy going to church. And then one Sunday, Rebecca, she was coming to pick me up for church, but her car broke down, and so we ended up tuning in to Ballymoney Church online. Now, the minister there, he preached from the book of Revelation, but honestly, my mind, it was not concentrating on this specific message, but it seemed like everything that I'd heard over the last few months, it was now coming to a head, and I now knew that I needed to be saved, but I had still done nothing about it. And so when the service ended there, I knew I couldn't keep putting it off any longer, and so there that morning, I simply asked the Lord to save me. I prayed to God, I asked him to forgive my sin, I asked him to save me, and he did. And so maybe you've tuned in tonight and you're not saved. And this whole situation with coronavirus, it's really got you thinking about God, got you thinking about the purpose of life and the reality of death. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And this verse, it tells us that we're all sinners. In Romans 6 and verse 23, we read these words, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And therefore, as sinners, we deserve that punishment in hell. But Christ, he took our place. He died on the cross as our Saviour, thus providing a pathway to heaven. And that is the gift of salvation that this verse is talking about. We also have there in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, "That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And this whosoever, it means that it is open to everyone. And as sinners, we must simply ask God to save us. And as the verse says, that person who calls upon his name, they shall be saved. And now I've been saved for 4.5 years now, and I can say that it's the best thing that has happened in my life. Now when God saves you, he doesn't promise that everything will be rosy, no, but he guarantees that he will be there with you to face every trial that you have in life. Now just under 2 years ago, my wife and I, we were faced with one of our most worrying times in our life. Rebecca, she was pregnant, and she ended up having our baby boy Daniel at 25 weeks, over 3 months premature. And of course, it was a very scary time for us, as we were unsure if he would make it or not. He was born, and he just weighed just over 2 pounds. And Daniel, that night, he was taken straight into intensive care, and he spent 3 long months in hospital, learning to breathe, learning to grow, and learning to feed. But in that time, God, he was merciful, and Daniel, he was able to come home 3 days before his due date. And we are so thankful to the Lord for how he continues to develop, and he has actually just started to take his first few steps this last week, and we are thankful to the Lord for that. But the reason I'm telling you this is that because as Christians, you will never face these problems or trials alone. And regardless of the outcomes, God's goodness and his grace, it is immense. The Bible promises us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And I can testify to that today. Now, so just to conclude my testimony, I want to say a few things. Firstly, that God, he is able to save you. He saved me. And secondly, that being a Christian, it means having God as your heavenly Father. And as his child, I can speak of his goodness, of his faithfulness, and of his mercy. And I quoted it earlier, and I just want to leave it with you. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, those words that say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And therefore tonight, will you accept this invitation? Will you come to him just as you are? And will you ask him to save you tonight? Amen.
Many years he walked in darkness as he groped along life's street, with his hands stretched out for pennies or for just a bite to eat. Was the story of that blind man who met Jesus on his way. With the master's touch, the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, "Somebody touch me, somebody touch me. I was blind, but praise his name, now I can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free."
One day he touched a crippled man, and he made him walk again. The master saw with pleasure that he had labored not in vain. And like the story of that crippled man, I once was bound by sin, but since the master came, oh praise his name, now I can say,
touch me, somebody touch me.
I was blind,
but praise his name, now I can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me,
but since he touched me,
I now am free.
I want to turn in God's Word tonight to John's Gospel, chapter 1. And we're reading just one verse together, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We'll bow for a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask for your help and pray that you will bless your word to all who hear it. For we ask this in our Saviour's name. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. These words fall from the lips of one of the most interesting characters you will find anywhere in the Scriptures. The Bible tells us that among men born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist. He was a unique individual, unique in his dress, unique in his diet. He wore rough, rugged clothes, clothes that were made of camel hair, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ and was so faithful and loyal to his Saviour that ultimately he was beheaded in a prison cell for the gospel's sake. Standing on the banks of the River Jordan, preaching his message of repentance, when Jesus appeared and John cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John was making it abundantly clear that day that salvation was not in him, nor in the baptism that he was performing, but only in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Jesus, of course, emphasized that same truth when he said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And again he said in John 10 and verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In our text, we see the person John expounds, the Lamb of God. People, of course, were curious to find out who John was, and some of them thought he was the Old Testament prophet Elijah. But John had nothing to say of himself other than that he was a voice crying in the wilderness. His message was all about Jesus, the only Savior of sinners. And here he is pointing the people to Jesus. That is what I want to do tonight, to point you to Jesus. For we have nothing to say of ourselves, for as Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Jesus was the sinless Lamb of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, there we read where it says of Christ, he was of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again in 1 Peter 2 and 22, it says of him that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Many accusations were laid against the Lord Jesus Christ, but all of them were false, and even Pilate the Roman governor said, "I find in him no fault at all." He was God's sinless Lamb. Jesus was also the suffering Lamb of God. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5 it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The hymn writer put it this way and wrote, "Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me." The wounding of Christ and the sufferings of the Savior show us the value of our life and the importance of our soul. That Jesus would bleed and die on Calvary's cross for people like you and me. That he would take the punishment due our sin and satisfy the demands of divine justice that we might be saved. He was the substitutionary Lamb of God. Again in Isaiah 53 and verse 6 we read, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord Jesus Christ had no sin of his own, but as the Apostle Peter states, he bare our sin in his own body to the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore our burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. Jesus was our substitute. He took our place. He died for us. This is the Saviour that John is expounding. He is the only Saviour of sinners, the Saviour that you need to trust personally. Then we have the pardon that John explains in the text. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross to take away our sin. He lived a sinless life. He went to Calvary's cross. He shed his precious blood that you and I might be freely pardoned from all our sin. Now, sin is a problem. It pays bad dividends, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But then we read in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, all of us are sinners, and all of us are in need of God's salvation. Therefore, you need to repent of your sin. You need to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and experience pardon from sin and peace with God. Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore now being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, many people in the world today have no peace. Their lives are blighted by sin, burdened by sin, and blinded by sin. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, for the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Friend, have you been blinded by sin and by Satan to your need of salvation? But the good news of the gospel is this, that no matter what your sins are, and though they may seemingly rise mountain high, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The vilest offender who truly believes this moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. You can have your sins pardoned tonight, blotted out, taken away, all because Jesus, the Lamb of God, died for you. Then we have the pleading John expresses in the text. Behold the Lamb of God. The word behold simply means look. And Jesus had appeared on the scene, and John said to the people assembled, behold, or look, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was telling the people simply to look to Jesus for salvation. And that's how simple God's plan of salvation is. Just look to him in simple faith. Salvation is not by works. It was not in John's baptism. It is not in anyone's baptism. For Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I exhort you tonight, in simple childlike faith, to look to Jesus Christ as your Saviour? We read in Isaiah 45 and verse 22, where the Lord says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And again, in Acts 4 and 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. The Bible tells us we must be saved. And the good news of the gospel is this, we can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I challenge you tonight to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to call upon the Savior, and to put your trust in him? There is an urgency in the matter of your soul's salvation. For as the Bible says, we don't know what a day brings forth. Therefore, you need to call upon him now today. For the scripture says, today is the day of salvation. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Heavenly Father, what a brilliant light came on in our world when Jesus Christ, our only Redeemer and Saviour, appeared. Help us with the empty hands of faith in real repentance to turn from sin and unto Him for our good in Jesus' glory. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in. I hope you can join us tomorrow night again for another online mission meeting at what is now the regular time, 7 p.m. Heather Hammond will be giving her testimony. My son-in-law, Reverend Paul Foster, will be speaking, plus the now usual elements of music, the children's story, and the quiz question will be there. Which brings me to tonight's question. Marion talked about three W's in her story. Now, I'm not looking for World Wide Web, but what W's did she speak about? Send Martyrs or me a private Facebook message with your answer, and the winners will be announced on our Facebook page tomorrow morning. Tune in, and don't hesitate to contact me if you need spiritual guidance.